Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic State Attorney Congregation of the Signs of the 12th Hour of Liberty, in the Elgin, Texas. Today is July 8, 2019, or it is the 6th day of Ab, 2023. We'll start our first service today with a song entitled, Standing on the Promises. Standing on the promises of Yahshua King, the eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of Yahshua, promises of Yahshua my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of Yah, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of Yahshua I shall praise Him. Standing on the promises of Yahshua, standing on the promises of Yahshua my Savior. Standing on the promises of Yahshua the Savior, found in Him eternally the lost strong cold, overcoming daily with the Spirit's soul. Standing on the promises of promises I cannot fall, lest in every moment hear the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of Yah. Dealing with is Jesus really God? Okay, and we know that Yahshua is His real name, and we know that Yahweh is the real name of the Father. So, is Yahshua really the Father Yahweh? No. We're on page 6 of our compilation by Alan DeLong. Who is He that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Yahshua is the Son of the Yahweh. This is He that came by the water and blood, even Yahshua Messiah. Not by the water only, but by the water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness. Because the Spirit is with the truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. So this is the only scripture in the Bible, only one, that all of Christendom hinges their confidence on. that this backs up the 3-in-1 Trinity. And that's in 1 John chapter 5, 5 through 13 is where I'm getting my information from. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. So it didn't say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was 3-in-1. It says that there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. So it didn't say the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are the 3-in-1. It says the 3-in-1 is the Spirit, the water, and the blood. So let's read that again. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Yahshua is the Son of the Father, Yahweh? That is, he that came by the water, blood, came by the water, he came by the water, and the blood, even Yahshua, not by the water only, but by the water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is with the truth, of the water and the blood. For there are three that bear record in the heaven. The Father, and the Word, which is Yahshua, the Father, Yahweh, and the Word Yahshua, his Son, and the Holy Spirit, number three. And these three are one. And these three are one. And that's as close as all Christendom can get to finding one scripture in the Bible to back up the 3-in-1 Godhead of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit being one. But it says the Holy Spirit is the one that bears witness of the two, of the water and the blood. The Holy Spirit bears witness of the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Right? If we receive the witness of men, the witness of Yahweh is greater. For this is the witness of the Yahweh, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of Yahweh hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not Yahweh hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that Yahweh gave of his Son. And this is the record that Yahweh hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of the Yahweh, the Father, hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of Yahweh, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of Yahweh. 1 John 5:5-13. You cannot overcome the world unless you believe that Yahshua is the Son of the Yahweh and not the very Yahweh himself, the Father. In fact, the phrase Yahshua is very God, or Jesus is very God, is nowhere to be found in the scriptures. I will deal with 1 John 5:7 later when we deal with the Trinity. Suffice it to say, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, Father, Word, and Holy Spirit, do not represent three gods in one. If you believe the witness of the Yahweh, the Father, that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh, then you have eternal life. But if you believe that Yahshua is the very God, the Father, then you are a liar and your soul is damned. You must also believe in his name, and that, my friends, is very crucial, for his name is not Jesus, but Yahshua. So what does Isaiah 9:6 mean to us? For the Father and the Son are two distinct and separate individuals, even though Yahshua said, I and my Father are one, John 10:30. And he told Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father, John 14:9. He was in the express image of his Father, Hebrews 1:3. And they were one in the character, in the purpose, in the Word, and in the truth, John 17:17. So the Son did not morph into the Father, as Isaiah 9:6 presupposes. This is the correct way to read Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child, Yahshua, Revelation 12:5, is born. Unto us a son, Yahshua, John 3:16, is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Parentheses, Yahshua, Luke 1:33. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Yahshua, Matthew 21:15, Counselor of the Mighty God, parentheses, God, Jeremiah 32:18, by the Everlasting Father, as the Prince of the Peace, Yahshua, Daniel 9:25. For the translators, neglected to supply the proper prepositions to Isaiah 9:6, so that it would make perfect sense, because the Bible clearly proves that Yahshua is the Son of the Mighty Yahweh, and Yahshua was begotten by the Everlasting Father, and he is the Prince of the Peace. Now here, Alan DeLong, I educate him on prepositions, articles, and nouns. That's the only reason why he is able to explain this here, Isaiah 9:6. And I'm going to read it to you again, Alan DeLong's explanation on it. And I'm going to make a correction or two here. For unto us a child, parentheses, and Alan DeLong, he put Jesus, Revelation 12:5. Well, he said, but he's taking corrupted Yahshua's name, the one that I taught him from the Hebrew, Paleo Hebrew, I taught him the correct sacred name of the Son, which is Yahshua. And Alan, his new wife, that little Buddha, a Mexican woman of another race of people, she had divine inspiration one day, and she said, the Son's name is not Yahshua, it's Yasha. So Alan DeLong accepted her interpretation, and so he changed from Yahshua, that I taught him, from the Paleo Hebrew, which I had all the authority in the world to teach it right, because that's the way it's recorded in the original Paleo Hebrew. But Alan, he takes this Buddha woman that claims to be a high priestess, she claims to be a goddess of her own, and he believes that she's a god, and so she changes the name of the Son to Yasha, and so Alan, he changes, he accepts that, but then he goes back using these pagan titles, Jesus, Lord, and God, and then he won't put parentheses Yasha. I don't know what he puts for the Father's name anymore. But anyway, here's Alan's rendition on this, and I'm going to reread it. For unto us a child, Jesus, Revelation 12:5, is born. Unto us a son, parentheses, Jesus, John 3:16, is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, parentheses, Jesus, and Luke 1:33. Well, Jesus is not Yahshua. So he's got it all wrong here. This is a Greek god that the Greeks invented from Azus, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Okay, and his name shall be called Wonderful. So what is his name? Yahshua. Says his name shall be called Wonderful. Before we thought that Wonderful was one of his names, but no, his name is not, one of his names is not Wonderful. It says his name, and if they'd went ahead, the translators, and put hyphen, Yahshua, in quotes, said his name, Yahshua, is called Wonderful. Now, this is the first time I've ever seen this, myself. And it says, his name shall be called his name Yahshua shall be called Wonderful, And then he puts parentheses, Jesus, Matthew 21:15, comma. Then he says, his counselor. This is another name, another thing he's called. So Yeshua is called by another title as a counselor. He's called Wonderful. Yahshua's name is called Wonderful. His name is called, Yahshua is called a counselor of, and it says the mighty God, but the Almighty is the word that you use when you're talking about the Father. And then it says, Alan went ahead and quoted, just the way the scriptures quoted it, said the mighty God. Well, God is a, nothing but a title that they gave to Baal, the Baal God. They gave him a title called God. And they took that title and gave it to Yahshua and Yahweh the Father. But Yahweh is always referred to as the Almighty, and Yahshua is referred to as the Mighty. And instead of Yahshua being referred to as the Mighty God, he should be referred to as the Mighty Prince or the Mighty King. That's what he is. He's the King of Kings and the Sovereign of Sovereigns. So he shall be called, and his name. Well, if you call him Wonderful and say that's his new name now, and yet his original name is Yahshua, and that's what it says, and his name Yahshua shall be called Wonderful. Yahshua, Matthew 21:15, Counselor of the Mighty Yahweh, Jeremiah 32:18. I'm going to put that again. And counselor, his name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called also Counselor of the Almighty Yahweh the Father. And then Alan gives the Jeremiah 32:18 to back up that statement. By the Everlasting Father. Now, Alan DeLong used the preposition by. He got that from me. I taught him that. I taught him to use that preposition of, and I taught him to use that preposition as the Prince of Peace. That word as is a preposition. I taught him all three of those prepositions and how to apply them. And he takes them and uses them on his own. And so Alan is claiming to have inspiration, or he's claiming the same inspiration that his little Buddha wife now has, a little Buddha that's of another race of people, the Mexican people, Mexican race, south of the border of America, the Prince of the Peace, Yahshua, Daniel 9:25. For the translators neglected to supply the proper prepositions to Isaiah 9:6. Well, the only reason Alan DeLong used the proper prepositions of, by, and as, is because I taught them to him. So that it would make perfect sense, because the Bible clearly proves that Yahshua is the son of, he says, the mighty God. No, he's not the son of the mighty God. The mighty God, according to the translations of this earth, is Baal. Baal is called the mighty God in Babylon. So that's where this thing leaped over into our language, as Yahweh, the Father in heaven, being the mighty God. No, he's the Almighty Yahweh, the lone head of the creator of the universe. And Yahshua was begotten by the Everlasting Father, and he is the Prince of the Peace. So when you don't say Yahshua is called, his name is called Wonderful, Counselor of the Mighty Yahweh, of the Almighty Yahweh, that'll work. And he is definitely the Mighty Prince of Peace, as the King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns. You can go to Revelation 19 and prove that all out. What is it? Jesus created. That's our next title for our the next part of this subject. That's a question mark that all day long he asked here. Was Jesus created? Well, my answer would be right off, because I know what it says in Revelation 3:14. But let's see what Alan says it is. Those who believe that Yeshua is God, or that Jesus is God, he said Jesus is not a created being, and that he has existed eternally, and he has no beginning and no ending, even though he died. And if Jesus is a created being, then he cannot be God, because God has always existed. Well, what says the scriptures? Let us begin with Revelation 1. John unto the seven churches, which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him, which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Yeshua, from Jesus Christ, it says, who is the faithful witness, and of the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our own sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto to God and his Father. God and his, you mean Yahweh the Father? He has a Father? Well, that's what, but you'd have to say then this God here means that Jesus, it means the Son. And his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah. And turn to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like the wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of the fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Revelation 1:4-20. From these scriptures we see that Jesus has the seven spirits of God. See Revelation 5 says, now this is Alan talking, so he's just going straight into King James, but I'm going to change that back to the sacred names when I use it. I'm not going to use that Jesus and God, because that's not talking about Yeshua and Yahweh the Father. It's talking about the gods of this world. From this scripture we see that the Yeshua has the seven spirits of the Yahweh, see Revelation 5:6, and is the faithful and true witness and the first begotten of the dead. He is the Son of Man, and he is clothed with a golden girdle. His eyes are as a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass, and his voice is as the sound of many waters. He has seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword goes out of his mouth, and his countenance is as the sun shining. He is the first and the last. He died on the cross, was resurrected, and he is alive forevermore. And he has the keys of hell and death, and he has a message for each one of the seven angels who are over the seven churches of Asia. And what are those messages? Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, Revelation 2, 1 and 2. The quote of these things I said, he is definitely Yahshua talking, because he is the one who walked in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And unto the angel of the church of the Smyrna, right, these things said the first and the last, which was dead and is alive, I know thy works, Revelation 2, 8 and 9. For the quote of these things said the first and the last shows that once again, this is Yahshua talking. And unto the angel of the church in the Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with the two edges. I know thy works, Revelation 2, 12, 13. The words of these things saith he proves once again that Yahshua is talking, because he has a sharp two-edged sword. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of Yahweh, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like the fine brass. I know thy works, Revelation 2:18 and 19. The quote, these things saith the Son of Yahweh, it can only refer to Yahshua, because he is the only one with the eyes as a flame of the fire and feet as a fine brass. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of Yahweh and the seven stars, I know thy works, Revelation 3:1. Once again, the quote, these things saith he approves that this has to be Yahshua talking, as he has the seven stars in his right hand and the seven spirits of Yahweh. See Revelation 5:6. And unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth, I know thy works, Revelation 3:7-8. Here again, there words, these things saith he, proves that he is Yahshua, is the Yahshua talking, that it is the Yahshua talking. Okay, it says, and he is the only one who has the key of the David. See Revelation 22:16 and Luke 1:32. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, at least saying saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of Yahweh, I know thy works, Revelation 3:14-15. Did you see that right there? It is in Yahshua's very own words. He says that he is the beginning of the creation of the Yahweh, the Father. And Colossians 1:15 says, who is in the image of the invisible Yahweh, as the firstborn of every creature. Yahshua is as the first being ever created by the Father, Yahweh. He is as the firstborn of every creature, and he is in the very image of the Yahweh Father, just like we are created in his image, Genesis 1:26. So that settles it, folks. Yahshua cannot be the Father, Yahweh, if he is a created being. And in Yahshua's own words, he says that he is the beginning of the creation of the Yahweh. Did Yahshua resurrect himself from the grave after his death on the cross? Because he says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. John 10:17-18. The power to resurrect came from his heavenly Father, as is clearly stated in the New Testament. And he had fulfilled all that was written of him. They took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But the Yahweh raised him from the dead. And we declare unto you glad tidings of how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, Yahweh, hath fulfilled the same unto us, his children, and that he hath raised up Yahshua again. And it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And it is concerning that he raised him up from the dead, and now no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of the David. Wherefore he said also in another Psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For the David, after he had served his own generation by the will of Yahweh, fell on the sheep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom Yahweh raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Acts 13:29-38. Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Yahshua, and Yahweh the Father, who raised him from the dead, Galatians 1:1, elect according unto the foreknowledge of the Yahweh the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit, and to the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Yahshua, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the Yahweh and Father of our Savior, Yahshua, Messiah, which according unto his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Yahshua from the dead. 1 Peter 1:2-3. Yahweh, the peace that brought again from the dead our Savior Yahshua, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, makes you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through the Yahshua, unto whom be glory forever and ever. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13:20-21. For it is obvious, it is very obvious, that Yahweh the Father raised his Son, Yahshua, from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant, and it is only by the sprinkling of the blood of Yahshua, Messiah, through the everlasting covenant, that the righteous shall be resurrected today and the living saints translated. This Yahshua had no power to resurrect himself, and all the power he received came from the Father, Matthew 28:18. I and my Father are one. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. John 10:27-30. Let this mind be in you, which was also in the Yahshua Messiah, who being in the form of the Yahweh, thought it not robbery to be equal with the Yahweh, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore Yahweh also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Yahshua every knee should bow, of things in the heaven, and things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Yahshua is the Savior, unto the glory of the Father, Yahweh. Philippians 2:5-11. Yahshua says that his sheep hear his voice and follow and obey him. And in order for them to do that, they must believe that he is the son of Yahweh, and that his father is greater than all, and then shall they receive eternal life and never perish. Yahshua being one with the Father, and equal unto the Father, and the same as being one in the unity and purpose and spirit, the same as when a man and a woman become one flesh, they are still two distinct and separate individuals. Okay, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore Yahweh hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Matthew 19:5-6. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them. That they may be one, even as we are one, and in them, and thou in thee, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. John 17:21-23. How is Yahshua in us? We just read it in the Philippians 2:5 and also in Colossians 1:27. It says, unto him Yahweh would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Yahshua in you, the hope of glory. Philippians 2:7. Says that Yahshua was made in the likeness of men, and Romans 8:3 says that Yahweh sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. If Yahshua was made in the fashion of a man with sinful flesh, then he could have sinned. However, he did not, and therefore we have salvation today. But what about Yahweh's Almighty? Could he ever be tempted to sin? Okay, Yahweh is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Numbers 23:19. Yahweh is not a sinful man like we are, and he never has to repent. Neither is he the Son of Man, yet Yahshua calls him the Son of Man. So, yet Yahshua calls himself the Son of Man. Now let's look at this again. I'm going to put this in the same language that Alan put it in. God is not a sinful man like we are, and he never has to repent. Neither is he the Son of Man. Yet Jesus calls him the Son of Man himself. Yet Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. Okay. Several times in the scriptures in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Yahshua calls himself the Son of Man. Over 80 times, since Yahweh is not the Son of Man, and Jesus is certainly called the Son of Man, then there is no way that Jesus can be God. As God, as the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God unto Pharaoh and Aaron. Thy brother shall be thy prophet. Exodus 7:1. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is people among them at that day shall be as a David. And the house of David shall be as a Yahweh, as the angel of Yahweh before them. Zechariah 12:8. Thus we as human beings can become as God, and we are made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26. If we are obedient to all the laws written in his everlasting covenant. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Matthew 1:23. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2:9. Thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. 1 Timothy 3:15-16. How was God manifested in the flesh? And how did the fullness of God, of the Godhead, dwell in Jesus bodily? God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of the reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19-20. Just the same as Christ in you, the hope of glory. Who hath delivered us from the power of the darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin? Who is in the image of the invisible God, as the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in the heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. And by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is in the beginning, as the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he must have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. Colossians 1:13-19. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid unto them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's the light of the glorious gospel of the Christ, who is in the image of the Yahweh, of God, should shine unto them. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. I'm using these pagan terms because Alan used them, and for openers, this will help everybody that hears this article for the first time to understand precisely how the Father and the Son interrelated with each other. As we go on, though, I'm going to rewrite this whole article. I'm going to upgrade it and edit it and put the sacred names in where they belong. This is too good of information. For Jesus is in the express image of the of God, his Father. So I'm going to do that again. For the Jesus is in the express image of the only one true God, and that is his Father. And therefore it pleases this Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, because the Father is in him and dwells in him, and that is how God was manifested in the flesh. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? For the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. John 14:10. So that is how God is with us, because the Father dwells in Jesus, and in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God never dwelt in a human body upon this earth. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Genesis 1:26. The word us shows that Jesus and God were both present at the creation of this world, and both participated in the work of the creation. But always remember that the head of Christ is God. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, because Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. John 8:58. Many try to connect this with Exodus 3:14, which says, I am that I am, to prove that Jesus is God, but that is not at all what this passage means. As Colossians 1 and Hebrews 1 show, Jesus was with his Father at the creation of this world. And therefore he existed before Abraham was ever born. God, who at the sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by the whom also he made the world, who being in the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on the high, being made so much better than the angel, as he hath by the inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto us, which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of the God worship him. And of the angels he said, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he said, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Hebrews 1:1-10. This is another passage where the Jesus is God. Freaks get tripped up. But into the Son he said, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. However, Paul clearly shows that Jesus sits down on the right hand of the Majesty on the high, and he is in the express image of his person, and not the very person or the God, that he is the first begotten of the Father. Therefore, he is created that God has anointed him with the oil of the gladness, and that it was God who in the beginning, see Genesis 1:1, laid the foundation of the earth and the heaven. Paul is just merely quoting Psalms 45:6-7, which said, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. David certainly doesn't call Jesus God. Jesus sits next to God on his throne. He doesn't sit on God's throne and rule the universe. That is God's position of authority. Our Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest love and kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children. After them, the great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts, is his name, great in the counsel, and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men. He gives every one according unto his ways and according unto the fruit of his doing. Jeremiah 30, 2:17-19. Doubting Thomas. This is a subtitle for our next thought. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I, John 14:28. For the Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father. But go to thy brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. John 20:17. Then saith he unto Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered, and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs surely did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. John 20:27-31. Once again, the evidence is clear. Jesus is the Son of God and not the very God, and his Father dwells in heaven, where Jesus ascended 40 days after his resurrection. And he also told Mary before he offered the wave for sheaf offering, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Thus, Jesus, the Son of has the same God that we have, and he even called him that when he was dying on the cross. See Matthew 27:46. And the same Father that we have, and he just says point blank, my Father is greater than I. So why did Thomas call him my God? The answer is found in Acts 7:55-56. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God. Let's put the article there. Of the God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man stand on the right hand of God. Thomas looked up on Jesus and said, my Lord. Then he gazed up into heaven and said, my God. When Thomas saw the evidence of Jesus' crucifixion, he was given a revelation of the Son of the glory of his Father in heaven. He was given a revelation of the Son and the glory of his Father in the heaven. Remember that Thomas alone, with all the disciples, believed that Jesus was the Son of the living God. See Matthew 16:16 and John 6:67-69 and John 14:5-15. Why is it a mystery? When you give people the evidence that Jesus is the Son of God and not the very God, they still want to believe that there are three gods in one, and that Jesus is the second person of the Godhead. They say that this teaching of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is a mystery, and we cannot understand it all. We just have to accept it by the faith. By faith in what? Without knowing any Bible evidence, we just got to accept it. Faith in what? Of course, this was the Catholic priest tell. This is what the Catholic priest tells of their parishioners when they can't answer a lie that they are trying to disguise as the truth. This then leads to a lot of the consternation and confusion on a subject that is very clear in the Scriptures, because you do err in not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of Yahweh, Matthew 22:29. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. 2 Peter 3:16. Unfortunately, this is for Alan DeLong, the author of this here compilation that I'm reading from. Unfortunately, he did this. He has done the same thing, what he just quoting 2 Peter 3:16, as others haven't done. And I'm going to read it again. You do err, Alan DeLong, not knowing the scriptures yourself, nor the power of Yahweh. Matthew 22:29. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures. And Alan DeLong, this is exactly what you have done and been, what you've been doing, is what you've done ever since I've known you. For since 1981, you have wrestled and wrested the scriptures from their original interpretation and intention, and you have misconstrued them until you're lost in the valley of indecision. Okay, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. 2 Peter 3:16. For God is not the author of confusion, but of the peace, as in all churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14:33. Well, one thing is certain. This confusion does not come from the Almighty. So, where does it come from? Who else but the Father of lies? This brings the end of our study. This is our contact at the 11th hour call. And that's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. So the storm passes by. The dark of the midnight, of a heart did not face. How the storm had all upon me, and there's no hiding place. In the crash of the thunder, precious Yah, hear my cry. Keep me safe. Till the storm passes by, till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Anytime Satan whispers, there is no use to try. For there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope, not end by. But I know Thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise, where the storm never darkened the sky. Now the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the ground no farther from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, look the sun in my presence on the bright and peaceful shore, in the land where the tempest never come yet may hide. Gravity when the storm passes by.
another storm passes over, another thunder sounds no more, another cloud no forever. From the stars, all is past, let me stand in the hollow of thy